Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. I would say 1 Corinthians 15, but we read that dozens and dozens of times while I've been playing around with seeds. But anyway, I'm just enjoying the study for myself. It's good for me. I like it. I need it. And I like just how this Bible says things better than I do. Matthew chapter 12, and then we may go a few other places from there this morning. Look at verse 32. In Matthew 12, Matthew 7, he talked about, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And he said, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." And this all has to do with, in 1 Corinthians 15, the idea of the seed. And is that seed, and I mentioned last Sunday, the idea that they're monkeying around with the seed. And this week, probably 20 people, if one person sent me this article that came out this week, we are living in dangerous, dangerous, deadly times. They have the ability, which I kind of figured they were going to come out with it eventually. The scientists have now, your DNA has four main chemicals that make it work. Okay? I won't get into how complicated it is. It's actually rather simple. There's just like four chemicals that make DNA work and do what DNA does. That's the basis of everything in this world that has life. Those trees out there have DNA. They have seed. They have DNA. And there's four chemical compounds that make up that DNA. The scientists said, "I wonder if we can make up some more." So they did. They added two more chemical compounds to DNA. So now they have the ability. And when they tried it by adding it to the DNA that was already in place, it fit in like a glove. It worked perfectly. So now the scientists have the ability to, in their mind, they think they can create whatever life or do whatever they want to with it. There is even, and I did some study this week, they have a delivery system. Let's say that, has anybody ever heard of gene therapy? He's a guy up here I know in St. Louis, and no, just kidding. Some of you are kind of slow. Oh, yeah, gene. Yeah, gene therapy, yeah. I never did know how it worked. They use a virus. Who's in here has ever had a virus? You live through it. You're lucky. Viruses are enemies of our body, most of them. They go on the attack and they get right into our cells. They get in places where they're not supposed to be. Viruses themselves are nothing more than little strands of DNA. That's all they are. Little pieces of code. Who in here has ever had a computer virus? You ever had a computer virus? Steve, you ever had a computer virus? They named it that because all it is just a little piece of computer code. Usually very small. Relatively speaking, usually you open up an email and you never even know that you've been infected. There's a picture on there and you clicked on the picture. Well, that picture released a little strand of code into your computer that told your computer to do things. Send out more emails or wipe your hard drive. Or there's one now. This'll bust these guys using their phone for porn. These phones. These Android phones, these guys would go on these porn websites and they would watch the dirty stuff, they'd have to hit this button that installed this thing on their phone. Well, now all of a sudden they've got a big screen on their phone that says, "You've been watching this dirty website, pay us $300 and we'll take this screen off. And no matter what you do, you can't get it off." Okay? That's a virus. Okay? Only you're the idiot that went and got it. Amen? Okay, and it's the shakedown is what it is. But anyway, A virus is just a little piece of DNA. So what they do is they take the DNA in the virus and they augment it, they change it, they rewrite it to whatever they want. That DNA, that virus, when you get hit with that virus, all those little virus deals go into your cells and they start rewriting your genetic code to whatever they want. That's silly. That's nonsense. If they ever approach me and say, Hoggart, we can cure your back pain, why, we can even cure your bad looks. We've got a gene therapy for that. We'll make you look like whoever. No, sir, I'm not having it. I'm leaving this exactly the way God wrote it. Can I hear you say amen? So when this thing talks about corrupt trees producing corrupt fruit, that now it makes more sense now to us than it ever did in history. God was right. He was right when He wrote this thing 2,000 years ago, and He's still right now. So just kind of ponder that. He said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. This is the seed that goes into us that produces the good fruit. If you want good fruit in your life, get more Bible in you. Study more of your Bible. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast in the fire, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Now Matthew chapter 12, verse 32. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, nor in the world, neither in the world to come. Yeah, I just had a thought. Have you made any of those DVDs called The Virus, what I did Thursday? Okay, well, don't worry about it. Maybe by next week, well, I will put some out on the table. I talked about this at length Thursday, and if you'd like to hear the teaching on it, we'll have it out on the table for you next week. But anyway, whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. You have to ask yourself, what is the nature and the role of the Holy Ghost in a person's life? It's the Holy Ghost that draws men to Jesus. It's the Holy Ghost that draws men to salvation. It's the Holy Ghost that speaks of Christ. It's the Holy Ghost that resides in your Bible. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Those words are in this book. And if you want the blessing and the dealing with of the Holy Ghost, just get your Bible out and read it. Amen. You wake up in the middle of the night, get your Bible out. Get your tablet, get your phone, whatever it is. I didn't want to turn a light on this morning, so I just flipped my iPad on and turned the screen down real low, and I'm sitting there reading my Bible. And it blessed me. The Holy Ghost began to deal with me and help me this morning. It was good. I mean, I've been crying a lot today, but it's good tears. Amen? But that's the Spirit of God. So think about this. Whosoever speaketh against what? The Word of God. The Holy Ghost. It shall not be forgiven him. Now, a lot of people write us and they say, what is the unpardonable sin with the Holy Ghost? I'm afraid I've done that. Listen, if you are afraid that you've transgressed the Holy Ghost, you haven't. Okay? When you transgress against the Holy Ghost, your conscience gets seared with a hot iron and you couldn't give a flip whether or not you broke God's laws or not. You have been seared with a hot iron. You've been turned over to a reprobate mind. And I got up after just having the joy of the Holy Ghost, turned the news on this morning. There's that sodomite that the Rams, I'm done watching them. The Rams hired that sodomite. That guy's goal, his agent should get $1 billion out of this deal. His agent probably went to him and said, we live in a climate now, if you announce that you're a sodomite, there is no way in the world that you won't be drafted. Because any team that will turn you down, it will look like they turned you down because you're a sodomite. And I was reading something the other day and they said he's really not draft material football player. He probably would have been way down here somewhere. Some team would have picked him up and used him to throw balls at for practice. Rams got him in the 7th round. And listen, that makes me sick. Amen? Where was I going with that? Anyway, verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers. Boy, does that tell you something right there. See the word gene in the word generation? G-E-N-E. And I want to tell you something. You've got snake genes in you. How'd that happen? Eve. The devil poisoned Eve. Got her. And she turned against the laws of God. And everybody sitting in this room and everybody listening to me and everybody over on the other side of the world, it doesn't matter. You came from Eve. Red and yellow, black and white, you came out of Eve. And your nature is just as twisted and corrupt as Eve's was. You would have not made any different choice in that garden than what Eve did. And you don't. You make the same decisions weekly, monthly, however long it is with you. You make, your flesh makes those same decisions all the time. Old generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I've got this pulled up here, and I'm going to look up a verse here in a little bit. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So when you are lost, and you are a reprobate concerning the faith, and you have turned your back on God, you cannot bring forth good fruit. You are not good enough. You never will be good enough. You can strive for goodness all you want to. You are still corrupt on the inside of you. In your heart, where most people can't see it, are things that we don't even want to talk about in public. Can I get an amen out of God's people? Okay? I'm talking and looking a verse up at the same time. So he said in verse 36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." That's why over in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10, it says, "If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Why is it that we can't just confess it with our mouth and not believe it in our heart? Number one, that makes you a liar. You will profess what comes out of your heart. You will do what comes out of your heart. In Mark chapter 7, he said, verse 20, he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man." And I want you to think about this, and I'm not going to make it nasty or anything like that. But I've said this before, whatever your body produces, it stinks. Doesn't matter if it's sweat, bile, bad breath, okay, bodily functions. Whatever your body produces, it's corrupt, it stinks. It's to be taken and cast away. Out. The Bible calls it the draft. You know what that is? That's a chamber pot. That's what that is. It's a chamber pot, and you're supposed to... Actually, according to the Old Testament, you're supposed to bury it. How many of you think that's wise, say amen. You're supposed to bury your waste. When people don't believe the Bible, they would just throw their waste out into the street, everywhere, diseases running everywhere. God told them in the Old Testament to bury their waste. Okay? It just makes sense. Our forefathers came across this land with a shovel and an axe. Amen? Cutting down a house, cutting down an outhouse, and digging a hole in the ground. Because they knew the Bible. But he said, that's what defileth the man. What comes out of him is what defiles you. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed, number one, evil thoughts. I'm just not even going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you have ever had evil thoughts? How many of you had evil thought this week? Okay? I won't even ask about today. Okay? Today's Sunday. Let's try to be clean on Sunday. Evil thoughts. Adulteries. I'm not even going to ask. Fornications. Notice he said, adulteries were in the heart. We usually place adultery as the act. Adultery is in the heart. Fornication is in the heart. Murder is in the heart of men. Don't lie about it. There are people that if you had your way, they'd be dead by sunup tomorrow morning. They'd be dead as a doornail by sunup tomorrow morning. That's what's in your heart. Thefts. You've thought about stealing it. Where did that thought of stealing something come from? The next one, covetousness. Whatever your eyes lay hold on that you like, that doesn't belong to you, that's covetousness. Now, if you got something that you like and you own it, that's not covetousness. It's yours. Amen? Okay? If you got a wife and you're looking at her, and boy, just some days she just shines, she's beautiful, and you know how you get your wife to shine? Husband's got to polish them. Got to make them look pretty. That husband, that's your job. Amen? It's just like that old car out there. You want them to shine? Clean them up and polish them. Make them look good. Husbands, that's your job. Amen? Okay? That means talk sweet to them. Talk nice to them. But if it's yours, it's not coveting. If it's somebody else's, it's covetousness. You're looking at your neighbor's car. You're looking at your neighbor's house. In fact, that's the first thing out of God's mouth in the Ten Commandments, your neighbor's house. How did the economy go so bad in 2008? What was the big deal with the economy in 2008? Housing. Why? The government, the liberal socialist experimenters in our government, decided to go ahead and to make banks loan money to people who could not afford to make the payment. They made banks loan the money. Barney Frank and Harry Reid and Hillary Clinton and Barbara Boxer and all these other people up there in Congress made the banks take the risk, loan the money to people who could not pay the debt. And then when the economy started tanking a little bit and all of a sudden the interest rates went up and they had got an adjustable rate mortgage and they hit that mortgage rate went up or a balloon payment came up, boom, couldn't make the payment. Then these people rose up and said, "You're taking away our house. That's wrong." Wasn't your house. Never should have been your house. You should have lived within your means. Well, that's the American dream. What's the American dream? I thought the American dream was you work your way up. That's the American. That's what my granddaddy and my great-granddaddy saw as the American dream. You go out and work if you want it and work your way up. But if you don't have the money, you don't get it. It's all there is to it. That's the American dream. But anyway, that's what happened. Everybody started coveting their neighbor's house, saying, "Well, I want that, but that evil bank won't loan me the money." So now the evil bank loans you the money. Bank knows that they're not going to be able to take it. But Congress pressured them. They loaned the money out. People couldn't make the payments. Boom, 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 boom. Houses all over the country going up on the block for auction. Banks just trying to get what little bit of their money out because people wouldn't pay the debt. That's covetousness. That's theft. Amen? It's theft not to pay a debt. You stole money. You borrowed money from somebody and didn't pay it off. That's theft. If you owe somebody money, pay the money back. That's what's inside of you. You think that, or anything like that, but you think that you're not going to pay it and they'll just write. Try that with God. Because your thoughts on God is that given enough time, God will just get over my sin. And I won't have to pay for anything I've done. That's what's in your heart. That's why your heart's wicked. That's why your heart will never be the way it is. You'll never inherit eternal life that way. Covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lie through your teeth, lie to get your way, lie to get out of trouble, lie to make friends with people. You make friends with people based upon lies that you told. Or you make enemies out of people based upon lies that you told. You are a deceitful person. You are lascivious. You have a dirty mind. People walk by you. You lust after them. You look at them. Or every time somebody says something, you think of a dirty joke. An evil eye. Blasphemy. Pride. Foolishness. Let's do this. Start in verse 21. Let's count. Here's what proceeds out of the heart of men. Number one, evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. Verse 22, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. How many we got here? 13. Does that number ring a bell to anybody? I'll take you over to Revelation 17. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the... I miscounted. It's 13 words. Go count it. And God raised that out of your Bible to you because it's all in capital letters. You've got an evil, wicked, terrible, hellish, satanic nature about you. That's why nobody, my aunt, I've mentioned this before, that's, you know, you just never know why God leads you to do something. And I mentioned this the other day, I'm just not bold one-on-one, especially with family. And there's lots of things I'd like to tell my family and probably lots of things they'd like to tell me. But anyway, was down at her house one day visiting, and her and my uncle and my cousin, who died while we were in Kenya. And I just out of the blue was visiting. I said, I don't know why this thought's in my head, but I would just like to know where my family's going to spend eternity or something like that. And my aunt was the first one that spoke. She was a member of First Baptist Church there in Jacksonville. She was a faithful attender, her and my meemaw. And they would go to church. They would go to Sunday school. And she said, I know where I'm going. I'm saved by God's grace. She may not have known a whole lot more than that, but she knew that one. Okay? And I never saw my aunt do anything wrong. I never saw her kill anybody. I never saw her hate anybody. I never saw her hair messed up. I know that. Never saw any bad thing out of my aunt. She was always dear. She was like my grandmother. She was always very dear and sweet. Great cook. Okay? And just an awesome, awesome human being. And I loved her dearly. But she was lost. And she needed to be saved. Because nobody is good enough to go stand before God and be clean. We're not clean in and of ourselves. We have very corrupt things in us, and so that corruption needs to be clean. That's why we have to have the seed of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 13, let me read this to you. Verse 31, you can turn there if you want. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. A younger generation doesn't know that mustard comes from seeds. Okay? They think it's just... In fact, every time we go down to Springfield, has anybody ever been down to Springfield, Missouri? Yeah. The French's mustard plant is in Springfield, Missouri, right on Highway 44. Just before you go south to Branson, you got to pass the French's. It has a big sign, French's mustard out there. And that's where they make condiments and everything like that. I'd love to work in there. Just... I bet that smells good. Amen? That's the only way that I'll use vinegar on anything. Okay? It's a little bit of mustard. But what is he talking about? Mustard is a seasoning. Mustard is what gives certain bland foods a little bit of flavoring. Okay? The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. It's a very, very small, tiny, insignificant seed which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, now I want you to ponder this for a minute. Those of you who think you're not ever, and I just got done telling you, you're not good enough. Of course you're going to think you're not good enough. You are not good enough. And you think, well, I'm so insignificant. I'm so rotten, I'm so bad, I'm so small, there will never be anything great come out of me. That is not true if you let God have it. God says, take that seed, sow it in the ground, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. You know what birds of the air are symbolic of in the Bible? Angels. How many of you like that? I mean, Going out this time of year, early in the morning, and just listen. What are you going to hear? You're going to hear birds. God designed most birds to sing very, very pretty and very beautiful. How beautiful do you think angels sing? Boy, I can't wait to hear that. I knew a guy dying of leukemia that on his deathbed, and he had asked the Lord to come into his life just before he died, and my mom was with him, and his name was James Bonds. No relation. And he was dying of leukemia in his bed at the hospital, and all of a sudden he woke up and he said, "You hear that?" They said, "What?" He said, "I hear the prettiest singing." He said, "You don't hear that? It is the most beautiful singing I've ever heard in my life." I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I sure do. And so think about the birds of the air coming lodge in the branches there. Think about angels ministering to your soul. Why? And don't listen to the radio people, the TV preacher, TVN crowd telling you, "Oh, you've got to have great massive faith in order to do this." And your problem is you don't have enough faith. How much more than this do I need? When I was 9 years old, I didn't know hardly anything, but I knew that I was lost and I was dying and going to hell, and I knew that Jesus died for my sins. That's it. That's all I knew. And I asked Jesus into my heart. That's it right there. And you could have not told me when I was 9 years old. Now, see that Bible? That's not really God's Word. That's got all kinds of... You can't trust that. You couldn't have told me that. No more than you could have told me there wasn't a Santa Claus when I was 5 years old. I'm just telling you, I believed in Santa Claus when I was 5 years old. Couldn't figure out how he wrapped presents in my living room without me knowing about it. But anyway, did the bell ring? Hard to shut up. Have faith. That's a little seed. And let God just drop a little bit of Bible into your soul and see what it'll produce down the road. I mean, look at you now. Look at what it has already done in your life. That seed that God sowed in you a long time ago. Look at what it already has done. And has God done? No, He's going to do even greater things for you. But it just took that little bit. Somebody say amen.